Says that thoughts are derived one from another. It's very hard to figure out what exactly the rules of what's called might are. So try to overcome that obstacle a little bit today and try to figure out what some of the rules are and see whether we can plug in some of the details into some of the rules. So the very essence of the law of Chalamoid is already very, very problematic because it doesn't seem to fit into the pre-existing categories of what we're familiar with in Yisur Melacha. We know about Yisur Melacha, we know the Shabbos, we know the Yom, we know the days that are off in the Melacha. And the categories of Melacha are pretty simple. Shabbos is Lamekes Melacha. Since the Yom Tov is pretty much Lamekes Melacha, with a few exceptions of Arba Nefesh, that's basically it. But Shabbos and Yom Tov are pretty set in terms of what the categories are. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, we find you have the same type of Melacha that somehow is Mutter. If it's a Dov Oved, it's a waste of money, all of a sudden it's Mutter. If it's a Tzarech HaMoed, so then sometimes it's Mutter, sometimes it's not. Depends on how it's made, how it's done. If it's a Tzarech Ruben, that's also. But sometimes Tzarech Ruben is even Mutter. So you can't figure it. You don't know where you're coming or going. In terms of what are the categories of Melacha, what makes it even more complicated is that it's unclear whether any of these categories are Midaraita. So this is all Midarabana. So there were a group of Rishayim who put their hands up in Ovas Chol HaMoed and says that we can't figure out what's going on here in terms of Ovas Chol HaMoed. There's no way to explain away any of this on the level of the Araisa. The whole thing must be with the Rabbanan. Not only because all of Ovas Chol HaMoed is under the Rabbanan. So you take that approach, Ovas Chol HaMoed is the Rabbanan. So then Eimara Ola Masar of Chazal. So then Chazal looked at each case and said that this is a good idea to offer this. This is going to take away from the celebration of Yom Tov. This is a bad idea. This is a good idea. This is a bad idea. They came up with these problems. So whatever the problem are, we have to try to figure them out. But the whole thing is with the Rabbanan, so we shouldn't be so concerned that they don't seem to fit into the pattern of what we're familiar with. But there are other Rishonim who said, no, that Melachos Chol HaMoed is really Midaraisa. It's Midaraisa. Heichem Masitas of Hashem there, that some things are Mutter Midaraisa, some things are also Midaraisa. It should be based on Sukkim, and there are no Sukkim. So how can you say that Melachos Chol HaMoed is Midaraisa and still have these seemingly arbitrary flaws? So this was a Machlokes HaRishonim, how to make sense of this. When he presents Yitzchak Chol HaMoed, so he presents it as it falls under the category. It's a little more. It's very, very wonderful. He presents it that it falls under the category of what's called the Sarah Kosov HaChachamim. That we usually think that there are two distinct areas of Halacha, that there are Isis and there are Rabbanans. So there is a third category that appears in the Gemara in a few different places called the Sarah Kosov HaChachamim. What is that? What does that mean? So a real Isa means that the Shbarach will tell the Meshav Ben as a prophet, some of the details also. So the Mashal of the Shabbos, the Torah says, Masasakam Malacha, that's what it says in Tosh of the Tzav, and the Tosh of the Tzav explains, what does Malacha mean? Malacha means, Chayri, Zerei, Chayt, Mamet, and all 39 Malachas. That's called the Din Deraisa. Esa Derabbanan means that the Torah doesn't say anything about it. The Torah doesn't say Nalar Mumuk. So the Chol made up in Nalar Mumuk. So that's a pure Derabbanan. Every once in a while you have a situation where the Torah gives us a cloud. The Torah says you have to avoid a certain type of behavior, a certain type of activity, and the Torah doesn't spell out what the problem is. Neither the Torah Shabbat nor the Torah Shabbat. So how in the world are we supposed to figure out what we're not supposed to do? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu left it up to the Chachmei Hador to be Kaveh. But the Chachmei have a right to determine the details as to what is included in that Issa D'Araisa. That's what's called Masorah Kosov L'Chacham. The Masorah Kosov L'Chacham doesn't mean Hilchah Shabbos. Hilchah Shabbos is not Masorah Kosov L'Chacham. Hilchah Shabbos was Moshe Kibbutz Tayyim Messina. But there are other areas of Halacha that are Masorah Kosov L'Chacham to be Kaveh. What's considered to be included or not? So the Marshal, the Torah says, the Chukifan looks at like, so what does it mean exactly? The Torah never spells out what's called Chukas Akam, what's not called Chukas Akam. So we assume that Messiah calls the Chum, so the Chum have to determine this type of dress is considered to be Chukas Akam, this type of hair is considered to be Chukas Akam, this type of entertainment is considered to be Chukas Akam, and the Chazal to be Kedeah. What are the guidelines in terms of what is Chukas Akam, what's not? Whatever Chazal decide is considered to be in Chukas Akam, that becomes a nichlal in the Deraisa of the Gedin of the Chukas HaMoed. So that's what the Sefer Chinuch writes, the same story when it comes to the Yisrael Melacha Chol HaMoed. The Torah says you can't do Melacha Chol HaMoed. Where does it say that? So maybe it falls in before Kodesh, maybe it's compared to the Yom Tov, whatever the different Mekorahs that the Gemara has, Chagat Matzah Tishmol, or Rabbis Chol HaMoed, the half a dozen Mekorahs that Chazal have in the Yimut and the Chagiga, that maybe indicate such a concept that Melacha Chol HaMoed is Deraisa. But the details were not in the Moshe Rabbeinu. The details were given when Masorah Kosov al Chacham. So the Chacham sat down and tried to figure out what they considered to be appropriate, what's not appropriate. So whatever they decided is Mutar. Whatever they decided is also Taka also the Deraisa. So that's how the Sefer Chinuch formulates Melachos Chol HaMoed. So you have Machlekes and Rishonim. Mamaisa, if a guy violates Chukas Chol HaMoed, if he violated just the purest of the Rabbanan, that's what many Rishonim say. Some you say no, that he's violated imam and shmamish in this of Diraisa, because whatever the chacham aser becomes elevated to a level of Diraisa. So the Arad Rishonim who have a little bit of a different presentation in terms of the background, in terms of the very formulation of Melechus Chalavayim. This is usually subscribed to the Shittas HaRamban. So the other thing is that the Ramban doesn't exactly say it explicitly. They even say something a little bit different than this. There are a few comments that are about in different places about this topic. The reason why I call it the Shittas HaRamban is that the Rishonim quoted the Shmuel. The Ritvot quotes the name of the Ramban, the Magen Mishnah quotes the name of the Ramban. And when you present it, we quote the Shittas HaRamban, even though there are other indications that the Ramban may have said something slightly different. So the Shittas HaRamban says that Melechus Chalavayim is Diraisa, and there were very, very clear qualms that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a very, very real definition of what's called the Nisim Melechus Chalavayim is Diraisa. However, says the Ramban, not everything that also in Shulchan Aruch is a Melechus Chalavayim, everything that Chazal asked is necessarily Diraisa. There are certain things that are also Diraisa, and certain things that are also Diraisa. So what were the columns? So according to the Chinuch, we made up the columns. According to the Abishan, we made up the columns. According to the Rabban, there were real columns that were given to Meshur Ben. So what were the columns? So the Rabban says he thinks that the column was as follows. If any malacha that's going to enhance the celebration of the Yom Tov, is mutter al cholamoy. Anything that's tzorchei moed is mutter al cholamoy. Finish end of discussion. The Shabbos, that's also tzorchei Shabbos, that's also tzorchei Yom Tov, that's there. Tzorchei moed is a map to be the right of cholamoy. Now we know in terms of Maseches Ma'akot, in terms of Shulchan Aruch and Chol Hamoed, just because it's Tzorech HaMoed, that by no shape or form means that it's mutter to do. We'll see as we go on, even within Tzorech HaMoed there are very real limitations, but the Rabban says that those limitations are only Midir Rabbanan. Any chumra that we're going to throw at you, that even though it's a Tzorech HaMoed, it's still also to do, that's only Midir Rabbanan. Midir Aisa, whatever hits from the altar, it's mutter, whatever detracts from the altar, is also. So according to the Rabban, Rabbanan goes one step further and says, and Dover Aved is for sure Mutter Midah Araisa. How do you understand that? Why should Dover Aved be Mutter Midah Araisa? And according to the Rabban, the Yisod is Tzorech HaMoed, yes, not Tzorech HaMoed, no. So apparently the Rabban is alluding to what the Ritva writes, the Perush in my Katan. And why is Dover Aved Mutter? Dover Aved is Mutter because Dover Aved is also by definition called the Tzorech HaYoed. Why is it a Tzorech HaMoed? It's a psychological Tzorech HaMoed. The guy's going to be sitting at his Yom Tov at his Chol HaMoed table, and he's going to be worrying about his field that's overflooding. He's going to be worrying about his house that's falling down. He's going to be worrying about things that are going to cause him financial problems. That's going to detract from his celebration of Yom Tov. So therefore the Halacha says that Dovra Ovid is also Mutter Midah Araisa. The Dovra Ovid is also considered to be like a Shtipul Tzorech HaYoed. But even though there are limitations within Dovra Ovid, not every Dovra Ovid will matter. Just as not every Tzorech HaMoed that we matter. Any limitation that we're going to develop in the next 45 minutes within the Dover Aved, all chumras Midir Abad and Dover Aved. Once it's a Dover Aved, once it's a Tzorech HaYoyim, so the Midir Aisa becomes Hetzer Gomer. That's the guiding principle in terms of Melechus Chalamoyim. So we have really three different Mahalchim that we showed them how to make sense of what's going on in Chalamoyim. We find all these contradictions. Sometimes Dover Aved is Mutter, sometimes it's Tosser, sometimes Tzorech HaYoyim is Mutter, sometimes it's Tosser. How to make sense of this? So three Mahalchim. So one extreme is like the Ramban, who says the whole thing is Midir Abad. No, Hakol Nikol, all of Melechus Chalamoed is only Midir Abad, and therefore we made up the call of whatever Chazal saw fit to ask, and they asked, and they didn't say fit to ask, and they were matir. According to the Sefer Chinuch, the Torah gave the Chachamim a free hand to do whatever they wanted. So once again, whatever they said goes, whatever they said is also, as Mutter is Mutter. But the difference between Rabbi Natam and the Chinuch is that according to Rabbi Natam, at the end of the day, if you violate Chol HaMoed, you violate any of the Rabban. And according to the Chinuch, if you violate Chol HaMoed, you violate any of the Raisa. And according to the Rabban, there was a very real set of Kolam. The set of Kolam was really one Kolam. Tzorech HaMoed is Mutter. End of discussion. I, the Maitre, Tzorech HaMoed is sometimes also. That is true. But those Yisurim, those Walchum is Mutter. Based approaches in Rishon and Haraphaska. How we machriya lahalacha. So the Mishnah Bura is a big fan of this Ramban. The Mishnah Bura seems to be nice a little bit in the Bialach, the Yilu Chalamoy, to be nice like this Ramban. This compromise view, but certain things are derived from Chalamoy and certain things are not. So at least the Mishnah Bura sounds that that's the direction that he's going in. So now that we have a little bit of a background in terms of what was Chalamoy, let's practically see what do some of these categories mean? What are some of these applications of Naisa? So the first Mishnah in Ma'ikaton, the debate of Allah, talks about the concept of Dabra Aved. So the Mishnah introduces to us this principle of Dabra Aved. So Dabra Aved is for sure going to be Mutter. There is a Shaila, what if you have a situation where it's not clear that you have a Dabra Aved enough? What if you have a Suffolk Dabra Aved? So would Suffolk Dabra Aved be Mutter? Would Suffolk Dabra Aved be Asar? So the L'chora, that Shaila should be based on the original Shaila. I was dealing with Yerai, but we were dealing with the Rabbanan. So according to those Rishonim would say, the wholeness of Cholamai, Hakamit of Cholamai, Zonim, the Rabbanan, that we should be Malter, Legamre, so Suffolk the Rabbanan, the Suffolk the Rabbanan, the Suffolk the Rabbanan, the Kula. But if you hold that there's some kind of a shalom deraisa here, that if it's not a real authentic tav rav, it's not also a deraisa, then maybe we should have a problem. So the Mishnah Berurah is very naked on the shalom. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the subject of the Bavin Avram. Bavin Avram was not the subject of Avin. The Mishnah Berurah says, he thinks that it's the favorite of Mishnah that says the subject of Avin is Mutl. What's the Mishnah? So the Gemara has later on, so that said, my question about different things you're allowed to write on Kolomoy. Usually you're not allowed to write on Kolomoy, that's the starting point. But certain types of documents you are allowed to write. So the Mishnah speaks about, let's say a person has to lend money on Cholamai, let's say Chayom, whatever it is, and he wants to sign a document, he wants to have witnesses sign a shtar. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to sign a shtar, or whatever documents you're allowed to, if you're able to overcome other Chayom Mishnahs, you're allowed to sign those documents even on Cholamai. So Taisus asks the question, that Mishnah, how can you sign those documents? What's the tzarech to sign? Not here. It's the tzarech to lend the money, but the tzarech to sign the document, what do you have to sign the shtar for? But don't sign the shtar. Make a move about that, and then you write a document. You have to yonder. The place says, no, that's going to be a problem. We can't tell a guy to lend money without having a shtar. Because the yonder won't be around if the yonder did. They'll go away if the yonder fell. They're going to die if the yonder fell. So the guy's going to end up never getting his money back. So that's considered to be a dover of it. So just, but the fact that the yonder may die and may disappear if the yonder, that's for mitzvah to have the Adam sign on the document, even right now on Cholamayin itself. So it comes to Mishnah Berurah and says, Bechorah, that's a classic suffix of Rabbi. You don't know the Adam are going to die. You don't know the Adam are going to disappear. So you're afraid that they're going to die. If they don't die, if they don't disappear, so they'll come to Beis and then we'll write the document after you're on to. So it says to Mishnah Berurah, that is from there, you see from here, that even the suffix of it is totally mutter. So this kula of the Mishnah Berurah, Mishmur didn't make it up, he just put the rye in the Bavin Avram, already said the Bavin Avram is Mutar. So does this indicate for us that Cholamayin is only the Rabbanan? This is a good raya. This sounds like if Dabra Ovid is Mutar B'Sofik, sounds like the whole Cholamayin is only the Rabbanan, Sofik the Rabbanan L'Kula. So not necessarily the case. Because based on what we said before, the Rishbos tells us that the Hefi of Dabra Ovid is predicated on the assumption that's called the Tzarech Hayom. It's a psychological Tzarech. The person's going to be the Dagger, he's going to be worrying the whole Yom Tov. So we know that people tend to worry, even on Sukkot. There's even a chance that my house is falling down, even a chance that my field is getting destroyed, I'm not going to enjoy my hunter very much. So the fact that the halacha permits something cover of it, well, I say, I'm nervous to lend you the money, because I'm afraid the Adam are going to die. So even though there's a 50-50 chance, maybe it's even an 80-20 chance the Adam are going to disappear, but since I'm nervous about that, that's going to share my hunter. So any time you have a situation where doing a halacha is preventing my hunter from getting ruined, that by definition is called the Dover HaAved, and that would fall into the category of Tzarech Hayom that would be Mutter. So just because a Sufik Dover HaAved is Mutter, we cannot extrapolate to other kinds of Sufikas. Let's say you have another kind of Sufik, where there isn't a Tzarech, it's not a Tzarech. So if you have a Sufik Tzarech, that's not necessarily Mutter, but a Sufik Dover HaAved is a Vadi Tzarech. So since people agitate about Sufik problems, Sufik monetary losses, it's not the Dover HaAved part that's the matter, it's the agitation that's matter, it's the psychological stress that's matter. So a suffix stress is considered to be a sufficient tzarech to be ma'atim alach on Cholamayit. So we're still stuck with our regular question, original question. We still don't know what the din of state is and what the Cholamayit is. We just know that suffix of Rabbin most probably is mutter. There are some limitations on Dabar Aved. The Gemara tells us in the days in Leichotan that even though Dabar Aved is mutter, but sometimes there's a problem, even with the Dover Ovid, if it involves a Tircha Yisera. So the Mishnah describes that even though a person is allowed to irrigate his field under certain circumstances on Cholamayit, Mashke Beis HaShlochim, if he has a field that has to be irrigated, if it's a kind of a field that always gets rainwater, and rainwater is sufficient, then what's the bothering watering his field for? Let it rain, what does he have this field? But if it's a type of field that always requires irrigation, and if he doesn't irrigate the field, the crops are going to die, that's called the Dabra Aved, that would be Mutter. Abba Bichay, the Gemara says, even though a Dabra Aved is Mutter, but he has to be careful when he fills up the water, he shouldn't go fill up these heavy barrels of water, he shouldn't go down to the river and carry the barrels, he should do it in a way that doesn't involve a tremendous tircha. The Gemara says that even though Dabra Aved is Mutter, but if it has to be done there, tircha yaseira, so then that's going to be a problem. So the Ramban would say, that added chumrah of tircha yaseira, that you're not allowed to sweat, to fill up the barrel, that's only chumah midrabanan. Midaraisa, that's not true. Midaraisa, the davar of it is a tzarech hayom tegomer. So even the Rambam can see that once you've ascertained that it's a davar of it, and now withdrawing that even another chumah from mashpia that you can't do a derech derech yisera, that's only a chumah midrabanan. How exactly do you define whether something is a davar of it? Becomes very, very shaky. The most serious shaila that comes up in terms of defining precisely whether something is called a davar aved is in contrast to another concept that seems to be related to davar aved, that's called menias harevach. In the Lucas Avelis Shul, we spoke about this a little bit, right? We talked about this earlier on. There are differences between davar aved versus menias harevach. What does menias harevach mean? So the Gemara tells us, also a little bit later on in my Katan, that there was a river once overflowing and all the fish were coming over the dam. They were filled up to the streets, and the shaila was people wanted to go collect the fish, to get a lot of collect a lot of food. So the Gemara says that that may be a problem to go collect all these fish. Why? Even though you're going, you're allowed to go fishing because you want to eat. That's echol nefesh. That's a shul mutzur and chalamayim. But people who didn't collect fish that they didn't eat for echol nefesh. And the halacha is even though you're allowed to cook on chalamayim, you're not allowed to cook for after chalamayim. Someone wants to ask the shaila, you're making a bar mitzvah the Shabbos after Yom Tov. Yom Tov is over Chmeisan on Thursday, and they were having 100 people over in the house for Shabbos. They wanted to start the cooking ready on Chol HaMoed. They told them they weren't allowed to do that. They said, because to cook on Chol HaMoed for after Yom Tov, so that's also, that's from Malacha, not what's a Chol HaMoed, so that's like any other Malacha, Chol HaMoed is a problem. So here too, the Gemara raises the question about the people who were going to go collect all these fish. So they wanted to collect all these fish. The Gemara says that in Achinami, that if they're collecting the fish for after Yom Tov, that could potentially be a problem. If they're collecting the fish, they could use some of the fish on Yom Tov, so then maybe it's going to be a mutter. Again, the Gemara has all discussion about that. So come to Hashem and say, is that, wait a second, why shouldn't this be mutter? I'll just cover all day, because here you have the opportunity to get all these fish. If you're not going to collect the fish now, so 3 days from now they're going to spoil. So why isn't that called a davar aved? It should be mutter al davar aved. So the Rishonim explained that's not called davar aved. Davar aved means something that you already have. It's already in your possession, and now something's going wrong. Say the field, and the bays in my brother. I have a field, I have crops, everything's growing, and now I don't irrigate it so the crops are going to die. That's called the davar aved. Aved means something I'm going to lose, something that I already have. Something I don't have yet is not called the davar aved. That's what's called the nias harevach. I mean, the halacha is saying you can't go ahead and make more money. You can't make something on Chol HaMoed. That's not called the davar aved. I get a quote unquote lose money. That's not called losing money. That's called not gaining money. And there's no head of davar aved for that. So this distinction becomes very important in terms of people's jobs. Very often people misapply this principle of davar aved. People say they have to go to work because it's a davar aved. What does that mean? It's a davar aved. Let's go through figure out what that means. So let's say you have a person who goes to work, so he comes to work on Monday. Monday is Chol HaMoed. So the boss says to him, listen, if you don't show up to work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, don't bother coming to work the following week. Either way, you're fired. So that's called the Dabra Aved. Because I have something, I have a job. I have a tangible thing, but I have a job. It belongs to me, so to speak. And now I'm going to lose that job. So that's the Dabra Aved. I'm the job. That's the Dabra Aved in my parnasa. So that's the Chamot. I'm allowed to go to work. Going to work involves a million different malachas. It doesn't matter. Those are all considered to be included in Dabra Aved. And that's Mutter, Lagamri, and Chol HaMoed. What if that's not the case? What if the boss says to you, listen, I respect you, you've been working here for 20 years, it's fine, you can't come, it's your holiday, you'll be more than happy to have you come back to work next week, but the money's not going to pay you for the next 4 days. So Monday says, well, I'm giving you an unpaid vacation. So can the person turn around and say, it's a davar aved, I'm not going to get paid for the next 4 days, it's a davar aved, I'm losing money. The mother, that's not called a davar aved, that's called the nisarav, because you're not making money for the next 4 days. So that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing in Chol HaMoed. You're not supposed to be making money for the next 4 days. You're supposed to be, same way you take off a shop and you're going to take off a Chol HaMoed. So the person can always fall back on davar aved. It depends on the type of what his job, what the nature of his job is. Sometimes you have situations where very borderline, tough to determine exactly what's called davar aved. We should have a discussion about losing customers. Is losing customers considered the davar aved? So here also, one could argue it's kind of gray area. The one is minis harevach, but I don't have the money yet. On the other hand, it is a davar aved because I have a certain customer who's been coming to me for the last 20 years, and if I close my shop for the next week, he's going to go shop elsewhere, and we all know if I lose a customer once, he may not come back to me again. It's a suffix davar aved. So the Rush was making on this part. The Rush held that the Rush was discussing money lending. So the whole shaila about whether we're allowed to lend money, the ribbon, not the Jews, the non-Jews, I allowed to lend money for ribbis on Cholamoid? That's a business that involves Patnatya. The Gemara says that doing business on Cholamoid is also the Pashtas, even if there's no Malach involved. Just the very essence of doing business is a problem. So the Rosh quotes him, Achlekes and Rishonim, have Jews in the money lending business, and a non-Jew comes for a loan on Cholamoid, so if you allow to negotiate with him, you're allowed to give over the money. So that's what you're allowed to do, is that Mutter or not? So Pashtas says that's a problem. Because that's considered to be Minyas HaRevach. So the Rosh says, no, he doesn't think that's called Minyas HaRevach. Why? He says, because I have a relationship with this non-Jew. For the last 20 years, he's been coming to me for loans. But I'm going to turn around and tell him I'm out of business, went fishing for a week, so then he'll go to find somebody else. He'll find another Jew. That's the Machmir who's coming away. This rabbi gave him a heifer. So he'll come to the town. It's not all the money, whatever it is. So he'll find someone who's Machmir. So comes the Rosh and says, I'm going to lose my customer. You've been a customer for 20 years. So that's called the Deborah of it. So we generally accept that Rosh. We assume that the losing of a customer, if that's realistic, what's really going to happen, so that qualifies Deborah of it. So the losing of today's salary, or the losing of any profit I'm going to make at the job, that's not called Deborah of it. But the losing of the customer, that would qualify as a valid Deborah of it. There is a Yerushalmi that throws a curveball into the city of Dabra Ovid. The Yerushalmi says that if a Shiyara comes to town, if a caravan comes to town, a person is allowed to go and buy things from the caravan, that's okay in Cholamoid. Why should that be okay? Not allowed to do business on Cholamoid. Not allowed to buy and sell things on Cholamoid. So the fact that there's a caravan in town, why should that be mutter? So we also spoke about this in the other Shiyara. So why should that be mutter? Why should that qualify as a Dabra Ovid? It's a classic. How to solve this Yerushalmi. So there was one opinion of Hashem, the Rabbi quotes the possibility that, well, there's no real malach involved. It's just buying and selling. It's only what's called pragmatia. So maybe in the realm of pragmatia, we're very, very makeable in terms of Dabra Ovid. We give you a very, very watered down version of Dabra Ovid in the realm of pragmatia, the Rabbi says. So the Ramban doesn't accept that. The Ramban writes, and maybe what Yerushalmi means is like this, that what exactly is being sold in the Shayara? It's being sold in the Shayara. The things that I need, the household things, and clothing, and pieces of pots and pans, things that I'm going to buy anyway. There's no question I'm going to buy these things at some point. So now the question is, I can get a good price now. So the Shiara comes to town, it's a big clearance sale, so everything is half price. So comes there and buy and sell. That's also like a number of it. Why? I'm not buying things because I want to make money off it. I'm buying things I'm going to buy and then sell to somebody else. It's not business. I'm just buying things, household needs, and clothing, and items that I need anyway. So I've allocated $1,000 for spending for these things, and now I have a way to do it that's only going to cost me $500, so then I've got the savings, $500. I'm not losing the $500. I'm going to wait till I see how the price is going to go up, the caravan's going to lease down, and I have to go pay the full price. So that's considered to be like a number of it. And Ramban says that's only because of this unique type of a situation that I'm buying things that a lot of I'm going to buy and need them. That's considered to be like a number of it if the price is right. So according to this Ramban, you would have an interesting application of this. We said, which comes up very often, that you have a couple, a young couple, they live in Washington Heights, so making ends meet, not always the easiest. They're trying to cut down some of the things they buy. Then Cholamoid, they go home, so they go to the parents, go to the in-laws, they go there, so they go out of town, so they go to Lamush, they go to California for a week. So the parents of the boy and the girl say, well, we'll be with us now, you need a little bit of some more clothes, you need a few things, you need another pair of shoes, you need a couple of pots and pans, a couple of your baby ready, your baby needs a couple of things. So let's go shopping together on Cholamoid. Wait a second, hold the phone. Shopping on Cholamoid, that's no pressure. God forbid you. So if the person can shop before Cholamoid, to do that, it's called the Malach Tabamoid. If you have the ability to do it before or after, for sure you have to. Sometimes it's not realistic. Sometimes, mamish, the guy, they're coming in, they're flying in Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they got to go back to school, but so you have to out the door, so the malls are closed, so it's now and never. So what's that look? You're allowed to go shopping and these kinds of things. So the whole point of Rabbi is in Mozart, because these are the kinds of things that you really need. These are things that you can buy at some other for them. I should need a pair of shoes, so you'll have to scrounge around for save a few bucks to buy a pair of shoes. So this is like a Shayara Bola ear. Why is this a Shayara Bola ear? Because you're getting it for much cheaper. Why are you getting it for much cheaper? Parents using their credit card, that's why it's much cheaper. So it might not come in whether it's the shiara that comes to town or you're going to the shiara. But at the end of the day, you're spending money. This is always a cat. We had the shiara all the time. We go to Facebook to California, so we used to have the shiara every single night. So according to Ramban, I think it's okay. That was one of the mates like the Ramban. So, Shatokhak, Yeshem, are there any other shelter? Are there any other kids, married kids also came to the dinner? So are there any other ways of understanding what this Rishami is talking about? You don't go to the root of the Rabbah. So the Rosh says he thinks another child is Rishami, and it could be that both shelter are right now. The Rosh says he thinks that the Rishami means the type of business. If the guy is buying from the Shiara to sell, he's not buying housewares, he's buying stuff that he's going to go and sell. So why isn't that called Menias HaRevach? So the Rosh says that the Shiara is different, because it's not sure once in a, once the opportunity, it's not a sure big opportunity, it's not a caravan, comes into, I live in a small town in USA, and all of a sudden, this store decides to come and present all its wares to me. So that's an out of the ordinary kind of a thing. So says the Rosh, when you have a Menias HaRevach, which can happen, it doesn't happen today, so it'll happen tomorrow, it'll happen next week. So it's no big deal. So what do you have to go do malach and chalabai now to save a couple of pennies for next week? So if you have a minhag a rabbah, which is something which is out of the ordinary, something that's a unique once in a opportunity, so that's considered to be perhaps like a davar of it. That's a hard hagdara, trying to figure out when that applies, when it doesn't apply. That's how the Rosh explains Tan Dushan. So I call part of the general rule is the minhag a rabbah is also, but there may be certain circumstances where minhag a rabbah may be revamped and transformed. We live with a little closer to the Davar Avid than one of the important limitations we just mentioned about Davar Avid is the limitation of Mechavim Malach Tadamayim, the Mishnah of the Feirish, that if a person plans on a Davar Avid, it's a planned emergency. So he plans on his field flooding. I remember once had my grandmother was alive, so there was someone who would take care of her. And the person pay stuff was not a happy time to them. They didn't like coming because they had to work hard. They didn't like the food in the house. So, well, it wasn't such a good time. So they always whittled out a way to get around not being around for Pesach. I remember one time she called up for Pesach and she says she's anticipating an emergency. She wasn't, she's anticipating an emergency 2 days from now. So she doesn't think she's going to be able to make it because she's planning on having an emergency. That was halacha. So that's what that halacha said. That's what the halacha says, that mechav and malach to the mind. You can't plan an emergency. Davar Avid is an emergency. It means the field is overflowing. You can't, what are you going to do? You're sitting down chalamayit and your field's flooding. So then, okay, you have to do something about it. But if a person knows that his field's going to flood, he knows that he has to irrigate his field once a month. So he's going to plant irrigating chalamayit because he's busy before Yom Tov. He's doing his regular job before Yom Tov. But that's not right. The Mishnah says mechav and malach to the mind is also. And it's also to such an extent that even the Yevim are not going to let you do it. So the guy was Mechavim Malach to the Noid. He could have done it before Yom Tov, and he chooses not to do it before Yom Tov. So that's a problem. So now when Chalamayit comes, and now he calls the rabbi and says, my field is dying, my crops are dying, tough luck. So Yovedu, the mission says that I got to lose it. You have to not sit down, because that was Mechavim Malach to the Noid. Sometimes it's not clear whether a particular category falls into a Mechavim Malach to the Noid. There is a shaila about, let's say you have a situation where a person has a certain amount of days that he's allowed to take off from his job, and if he takes more than the days that he's allotted to, so then he's going to lose the job. The boss can do this. You have 10 days of vacation, you take more, you're risking your job. So the person knows that Sukkot is coming around, and right now it happens to be the summertime. So he knows he has 10 days in the bank. 10 days of vacation between now and July, between now and January. So he makes a simple calculation. He says, I need five days for Sukkot. But what if I do as follows? What if I want to go away for 2 weeks now? So he goes to Europe for 2 weeks. He takes off 10 days of vacation. And then comes Sukkot. And now, Baruch Hu, comes Sukkot. I don't have any days in the bank. So my boss says to me that if you don't come to work today, I'm going to fire you. So you've got to do that. And that's called the Chavim Malach. He planned, he set up for a Davar Avid, he set up an emergency. So So who told him to go to Europe for 2 weeks? Maybe he should have gone to work in the summer, taken a couple of days off in the summer, and has to make a hedgman. He has to save those 5 days for his work in, to take off those days in October for Sukkot. Otherwise, that's a violation. And if he doesn't do that, if he takes his 2 weeks vacation, then he comes sick, he comes crying, the chadavar aveh, we turn around and say, you're vain, lose your job. So is that a problem or not? That was the machlokes I thought you did. Some person would take a hasad. Some person would say that you have to calculate your vacation days in advance, and you have to cheshven out that you can't go on vacation in the summer, you have to save all your vacation days for Sukkot. So Rav Moshe thought that wasn't right. Rav Moshe thought that that's the chumalach chav malach v'moyed. Chav malach v'moyed means that the person can just as easily do the work before Yom Tov or in Chol HaMoed. So why does he opt to do it in Chol HaMoed? And Rambam writes, he opts to do it in Chol HaMoed because he's free in Chol HaMoed. He's got more time in Chol HaMoed. That's why he opts to irrigate his field in Chol HaMoed. So he's not just pushing off to Dover Ave to do it specifically, deliberately in Chol HaMoed. Really no other reason per se. So comes your emotion and says, what is the reason why this guy took his days off in July? It's not because he's mechav lach, it's not the hachas nek that he's pushing off the days to be pesheya, that he should have to go to work in Chol HaMoed. He would love never have to go to work. But why is he going on vacation in July? Because his kids are off from school in July, because his wife wants to go on vacation in July, because he wants to go on vacation in July, he doesn't want to go on Chol HaMoed, so he can't get a good deal on Chol HaMoed, whatever it is. So there are other cheshbonos why he's going in July. He's not setting up the situation of going to work on Chol HaMoed intentionally. He's doing what works out better for him. What works out better for him to take his vacation in the summer. That's not called mechav malach v'moyed. So nothing requires him to save the days. Now when he comes to Sukkot, the Taki comes crying to the rabbi. He says, hey, I'm going to lose my job. I don't want to work. The rabbi says, okay, it's going to work. He's got the number of it. So Rav Moshe, how are you allowed to do that? Others disagree with Rav Moshe. But even Rav Moshe concedes that if Lemaisa, it comes Sukkot and he has days in the bank right now, it's already Sukkot, he has days in the bank, but he'd like to go vacation in December. He's about to plan a skiing trip ready in December, so he's going to go to work in Chol HaMoed, because if he takes off Chol HaMoed, then he's going to lose those days, then he won't be able to go on a skiing trip. So Moshe says, that's not Dover Ave, that's nothing. Then you have a Shiloh, it comes Chol HaMoed, so the question is, right now it's not a Dover Ave, you have 10 days in the bank, 10 days in the bank, lose the 5 days. I won't be able to go for a week and a half skiing. So you want to go skiing before we get a medical number of it. So even Malaysia would only make it when the vacation precedes Sukkot, but precedes Pesach. So then, once the other comes, it's not going to begin the number of it. Well, like the Malaysia was making on these kinds of shilas, and others were not so convinced that to be a number of it. Even Malaysia, right? When a person has nothing to lose, so of course he should try to plan his vacation around Chol HaMoed. Able to take the days off. Let's say you take unpaid vacation days. We take unpaid vacation days on Chol HaMoed. The person should not just assume that, well, it's his job, and therefore it's most of the work, and everything is in Hefta Gomer. That's to really meet the criteria of Dover of it. There is another basic Heter, which we mentioned, the name of the Ribbon, maybe, Dover of it, maybe even the subcategory of, that's called Tzarchei HaMoed. Tzarchei HaMoed are on Motor, but the Mishnah says that not always. The Mishnah draws a distinction between different types of Tzarchei HaMoed. There's Tzarchei HaMoed of the Maiz HaHedyo, and Tzarchei HaMoed of the Maiz Umut. Tzarchei HaMoed, if it's a nice hedyot, is most of it, something that an average person, an unskilled person, could do. So then Tzarchei HaMoed, the nice hedyot, is not a mutter. If it's Tzarchei HaMoed of a nice umman, so that's considered to be a doubt. Something you'd have to cause a full professional in to do, that's a problem. That's what the Mishnah draws a distinction, say, sewing a garment. So the Mishnah says that you beg at rips, you want to sew it up. So the Mishnah says, depends. If it's a nice hedyot, just a chick-chock type of a stitching that any Tom, Dick, and Harry can do, so that's the Tzarchei HaMoed. You should never rip their shirt. If the Tzarchei HaMoed makes a hedyot, you have to bring it to the tailor, but that would be a problem. So the person bought a pair of pants, and they didn't get a chance to alteration, and he wants to bring it to the tailor to do alterations, if you happen to wear for the last day, that's a problem. Most people probably can't do alterations on their own. All right, do bring it to the tailor. So that's a nice omen. So a nice omen is talking something which is also whatever you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do either. There's a Mishra Mir Yaakov and Chol HaMoed, the Gemara says. Even to bring it to the non-Jewish Kelim and Chol HaMoed would be a problem. Maisa Uman is also a Mir Yitzhak HaMoed, Maisa Hegyo, and it's going to, that's going to be Mutter. So the Ramban writes, but that Chiluk between Maisa Uman and Maisa Hegyo, that's only a Chum Midi Rabban. That means with the Raisa, everything's Mutter. With the Raisa, it's Yitzhak HaMoed, that's going to be Mutter. Remember, I had a Shaila, 2 years ago, last year, last Pesach, Did we speak about the car shaila?
Yeah.
We spoke about it last year. We had the shaila here for the car. We spoke about it after Pesach, I guess. In the summer we spoke about it. So a guy came to shaila last year on Pesach that is wasn't it tire? What was it? The battery. If the battery died in his car, and he had to get a new battery installed. The shaila, was he allowed to do that in Cholamoy? Not so posh, because that's the tzorach of oil. You need to car to be able to drive around the Cholamoy. On the other hand, it's maybe a nice Uman. So if it's a nice Uman, that's going to be a problem. So we couldn't figure out exactly whether this was a nice Uman or a nice Hedjo. So I was asking around some guys, so is every time you can have you know how to change a battery? Not supposed to be that. You know, that car. If you know how to change a battery, I don't know what to do. If your battery dies, you know what to do. So half the guys in Shul said, it's a big deal. You just take the battery out and you go to see his brother and stick it in. So the other guy said, what? You got a battery. You don't even know how to open up the hood of the car. No, quick as a puzzle. What's the story? You change the battery, if it's a mice idea, then it's Mamish Mutti. You do it to yourself. But if it's a mice Uman, then it's a serious problem. Because if it's a mice Uman, so then even though it's a Torah Chavari, you need to drive the car. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a problem. So at the time, I was willing to be master because I couldn't get a straight answer from anybody, whether it was my son or my dadjo. It was like a triple suffix. It's a suffix that was Cholamoyed. So in suffix that was Cholamoyed, how do we task it? So we said, that's the Pedro. So according to the Ramban, even if Cholamoyed is deraisa, but once it's Tzorach Hayom, then for sure it's on him in the Rabbanon. According to the Ramban, the chibuk between my son and my dadjo is only chibuk in the Rabbanon. So it's a suffix Rabbanah, according to Rabbanah, according to Rabbanah, that all Chalamad is the Rabbanah, so it's a suffix Rabbanah, Lekula, for sure. So according to the Chinuch, who says that Chalamad is the Raisa, whatever Chazal asked they asked him, it's a suffix Raisa. But according to the Ramban, that even the Chalamad is the Raisa, but Maisa Umar is the Rabbanah, so it's a suffix Rabbanah, Lekula. So the Shavur Tap is nothing like the Ramban, that's what I meant before. If you're Allah likes that Ramban, so that's what that the Ikra Adin, according to the Ramban, is quite the suffix, and I can't really do Navarra, try to do Navarra, don't give me a straight answer. But the suffix makes it almost something that we want to do after the Nagel. So yes, it's an ace, it was done by a guy anyway, so it's done by a non-Jew, it's only a Hilly Yaakov. Even according to the Chinuch, it's only a drop of honor. So it's like, well, something that we're not there to go get his battery, changed on the whole way. Even though there is an Isser of Maisa Uman, there are certain times that even Maisa Uman is going to be mutter. And that's within the realm of Eichel Nefesh. Now, we shouldn't be raised with Eirish and Gemara that anything that's Eichel Nefesh Mamish, so a person is permitted to do, even a Maisa Uman. Not only is a lot of person allowed to do even a Maisa Uman Eichel Amoyed for Eichel Nefesh, but even things which are not Eichel Nefesh proper, things which are like Machshiri Eichel Nefesh, like preparations of Eichel Nefesh, those kinds of things are also going to be mutter. The Gemara tells about fixing an oven on Eichel Amoyed, and an oven break on Eichel Amoyed. That's not the proper. It would be a mutter, even though presumably the person you're calling to fix the oven, that's a ma'adomi, you have to make yourself a film mutter. Remember a couple of years ago on the Pesach, there was like a new kind of oven that was out or something that the people were trying to cash in the oven, so no stop or something, so everything was breaking. The same model was breaking everybody. So we were up at Pesach a couple of years ago. One year when it wasn't the rabbi of a shoulder face, it was between parameters of Brunenfeld. One year we went away. So we went to my brother in law for Pesach. So they had just gotten this brand new oven, and by the 7 day of the oven was broken. So what was shot? So we couldn't figure out. So I told them what happened was the cashering messed up the oven. And then it turns out that everybody in Muncie apparently had bought the same oven, and everyone had broken the same oven. So the shot was to the tears of family and come on the Kalamoyan. So the answer is yes. That's called Eichel Nefesh. You're not going to eat the oven, but eat the oven the good way. That's called Machshir Eichel Nefesh. So I to my Tumut. But this guy, this big, burly guy from here, walks into the house. So he didn't have to say anything to him. He says, Passover, yeah, there's like the 50th oven that I have. Anyway, so that's the Gemara says that the Rishonim have a Shaila. What about things which are not exactly Eichel Nefesh proper, and things which are not even Mafshiri Eichel Nefesh? They're like very, very pre Eichel Nefesh types of things. So that's the Shaila. That could be, that's not called Eichel Nefesh anymore. That's considered to be like Machshire, not even Machshire, like Machshire, the Machshire, the Machshire. That's like some maybe want to be mad at the cars. You say, I need a car. If I can't have the car, we'll be able to drive to get food on Yom Tov. So that's already, that's not even a Kol Nefesh. That's not even Makshir Kol Nefesh. That's what there's a Magen Avraham. There's a Raya Muslim way of and then even Makshir Kol Nefesh, there's Gvul B'davra. Only those Kelim that are involved in the Mamish preparation of the food, those are considered to be Makshir Kol Nefesh. Anything which is even earlier than that, right from the net, especially not buying a fisherman's net on Kol Nefesh, that's considered to be Makshir Kol Nefesh. The Magen Avraham thinks that's not. He says, I need a net to fish. He says, I have to be too far removed on the preparation of the food process. So even within Eretz HaNefesh, Mashir Eretz HaNefesh, Yesh Gvul B'davar. What if you have something which is not Eretz HaNefesh proper, but it's something which is Tzarech HaGuf, something that enhances the bodily need, so that's usually assumed that it's also considered to be like Eretz HaNefesh, and therefore any Tzarech HaGuf would be subject to all these kulas. So namely that you don't have to worry about my Umar, it doesn't matter, everything's at the Gomer, as long as it's enhancing some bodily need. And we should point out that just as whenever you have Eichel Nefesh or Mashir Eichel Nefesh, and so if you have goof, all these kinds of things, so that trumps the regular column of my Umar, that trumps some of the problems of Makad and Balach of the way. Also, it's also more than that. I could have come from before, it doesn't matter. Makad and Balach of the way maybe is also not going to be a problem, at least for Eichel Nefesh proper. What if you say is not going to be a problem? The Mishnah says that if a person wants to harvest his field and wants to make eat the crops, if he wants to harvest his field and just store the grain for after Yom Tov, that's a problem. But if he wants to harvest his field for mamash to make matzahs on Pesach, that he's allowed to do. There's a lot of tirch involved in that. Doesn't matter. That's a chalnefesh. Chalnefesh trumps everything on chalnefesh. Tzarech Yaguf would be mutter provided that it meets those criteria of being Tzarech Yaguf. That's the shayla the folks can have. A discussion about there's also a common shadow that something goes wrong with the air conditioning on Chol HaMoed. You want to go call the air conditioning repairman on Chol HaMoed. Is that mutter or not? So many folks can mask that outright. They held that's called the Tzarech HaGuf. They finish it. It's hot outside. And that's called the Tzarech HaGuf. And that would be mutter. And Rav Moshe writes that even though he thinks Mikra didn't mutter, he thinks that it's a zulzul of Chol HaMoed. That a guy come with a big truck and he's taking out all his apparatus, all that stuff, and he's cleaning up. Did you have the guy park across the street or something? Have the guy, whatever, bring a blind truck or something? I don't know. Don't let him bring his big air conditioning and heating truck. Try to do it in a way that minimizes on the zilzul. You know, in terms of mikra din, so Rav Moshe thought that was all right. Others will not. You know, tell that wasn't really considered to be like a enough to tzarech haguf, and maybe that's not wouldn't be mutter l'gamrei. There is a further shayla. What if you have something which is not a Chol Nefesh, it's not really machshirin, and it's not even Tzarech HaGuf, it's Yikui HaGuf, something just to make the person look prettier. So is that considered to be like in this category of Tzarech HaGuf and a Chol Nefesh, and everything goes? So there's a response, but according to this, yes, it's all right, that anything that enhances the person's cosmetics, that's also considered to be Hetegomer, that's like a Chol Nefesh, and that's Hetegomer, and all the considerations fall off, all the chumras of the statements and whatever, everything that we mentioned up until now, nothing applies when it's a Tzarech HaGuf, and Yikui HaGuf is also called Tzarech HaGuf. What's the raya for the Rizvah? There's a raya from the Mishnah later on in my Katan, where the Mishnah speaks about Isha Osa Kotach Shiteh HaYom Tov. A woman is permitted to involve herself in all kinds of cosmetics, all kinds of these kinds of things on Yom Tov, would be Zotar, and the reason being, says the Rizvah, because these are all Yikui HaGuf, so the Mishnah doesn't give any limitations. Also, Isha Kotach Shiteh, Ishmael, but with Baal's past, and Maisa Umman, and Baal's doctor, and Yasei, but it doesn't matter, everything is Mutter because of Yikui HaGuf. So, all this question whether that's a good ride, Yoch HaShulchan writes that maybe we can't extrapolate from one to men. Maybe, also, Isha Kotach Shiteh, Yoch HaShulchan writes that a special Kula Chazal gave that the women, Eim Lechasik, was that the problem is that the Shkia, the Yom Tov, they don't do the Tashi, that maybe, it's because for the women who are not, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be their legamre as a blanket heter. It's unclear from the Rosh Hashanah. But the life of the Ritzvah writes it. And Yishabura quotes this Ritzvah. There's a couple of scenes in Yishabura about some places Yishabura quotes the Ritzvah. And there's one or two other places in Hilton's Chol HaMoed where he seems to ignore this Ritzvah. So it's unclear what the Yishabura was driving at. But the Pasha is confirmed that the Ritzvah says, Rav Moshe writes that we pass by this Ritzvah. The Ritzvah says the Feirish that the Yipay HaGuf is heter gomor. So it's based on this Ritzvah that we can understand fully well the suit in the beginning of the third paragraph of my thought. The Gemara speaks about getting haircuts and shaving and Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to do that. Only certain very, very limited people are allowed to get haircuts and Chol HaMoed or shave and Chol HaMoed. only people who are Yatsu Beis Asurin or the Mitzayra, the Nazir, someone who could not get a haircut from beforehand, but if he could get a haircut from beforehand, he's not allowed to get a haircut on Cholul Moed. So the Gemara asked, why is that a problem? So according to the Rizvah, that question makes a lot of sense. I mean, according to what we said, should we have to go more? Go to get a haircut, come make yourself look nice. So go to shave, make yourself look nice. It's a Maisa Umar, I can't give myself a haircut, I need a barber, it doesn't matter. Maisa Umar is Mutter for Echol Nefesh, and Yipi Aguf is like Echol Nefesh. So according to the Rizvah, the Shach Matami would make a lot of sense. So am I also? Why should I be also? Not why is it also? It's also for a totally different reason. The person should enter into the other looking like a mess. If the guy is going to get it, not going to get it, if the guy is going to get a haircut on Chalamayas, that means he's not going to bother doing it before Yom. He'll do it on the first day Chalamayas, but for the first day the other is going to look like a schlep. So therefore, there was a special. It said the Rabban of Shleikanis the Rebbe Kshuminuvol, but it has nothing to do with Malacha. Malacha is Taka Motor because it's the Tzerech Hayom, it's Tipei Haguf, Yipei Haguf, it's Echol Nefesh, Tetu Gomor. So if you accept the Ritzvah, so the Gemara reads Mamash, reads like a Shah. Should have been Mutter, but there was a special exam in the Rabbanan that it's also the implication of the Sukh is whatever that Gezer of the Rabbanan doesn't apply, and the Issa doesn't apply. That's a letter of any time to believe. But let's say a person already got a haircut from before Yom Kippur. Now he wants to get another one of Chalavoy. He wants to touch himself up. We shaved already before Yom Kippur. He wants to shave again on Yom Kippur. So how can you turn around to the guy and say, no, you can't get a haircut because you're like, Kanas the Rebbe Kshimanurvah? But he did what he was supposed to do. He got the haircut beforehand. So Benetam says, when a person got a haircut from before Yom Tov, he's allowed to get a haircut on Yom Tov, not Yom Tov, on Chol Hamoed. If he shaved before Chol Hamoed, he's allowed to shave on Chol Hamoed. That was what Benetam said. So the Avraham Jaz of Rishonim did not accept the Benetam. Why didn't they accept the Benetam? So Rishonim right. And it's a lot. Who's going to know who got a haircut, who didn't get a haircut? The Gemara itself says that what if you have a guy who was of the law made on Erev Yom Tov? He lost something in Erev Yom Tov, he was busy, he was running around, he didn't get a chance to get a haircut. So what do you want from the guy? Well, you can't assume him and hope it wasn't his fault. His words was not proportionate. Not everybody knows that he lost something. Then the guy is a Mitzrayer, as in knowledge, everybody knows. This guy's been Chutzamachana for the last month. So when he comes on Chol Hamoed, he gets the green light from the Kohen. So he comes back and he gets the haircut. Everybody realizes, oh, this guy couldn't get a haircut before it. Well, then knowledge, everyone knows the guy's got long hair. He has gotten a haircut in the last 6 months. Now it comes and the Nazirus is over, he brings his Kabbalah to Chol Hamoed, and he gets the haircut. Everyone will realize that this guy couldn't get a haircut from beforehand. But the guy was Abdullah Aveda, the Gemara says, who's going to know he's Abdullah Aveda? The guy looks like a regular guy, and all of a sudden Chol Hamoed, he's going to be in the barbershop. So therefore, Marasayas, the whole clue, the Chalim said that he cannot get a haircut. So that's what all the Rishonim jumped in Rabbeinu Tam and said, this is because this guy personally got a haircut before Yom Tov, who knows that? So how can he go ahead and be masked and be a haircut on Yom Tov? That's what Rav Moshe writes, that's the reason why all the Rishonim disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam. But the Ikaron Rabbeinu Tam was right. That the Ikaron, there's really nothing wrong with getting a haircut on Chol Hamoed. The law is not a problem, but it's easy to have books, even like Umar's Mutter. In terms of the Gezeirish Lo Yikanes, the Gezeirish shouldn't apply for the guy who did what he was supposed to do. The only reason why the Maisa would say they stepped up in the Tam, says Rav Moshe, is because of this Chashash, no one's going to realize that he got a haircut from before. So it's based on this, Rav Moshe suggested, what if you have a situation where that Chashash doesn't apply? Everybody will realize that if they see him getting a haircut now, they'll realize he got a haircut before Yom Tov. Says Rav Moshe, the lechari, even the chokum of Rabbeinu Tam would concede to Rabbeinu Tam. So this was the basis for Moshe's famous head shaving on Chol Hamoed. So Moshe writes that if a guy's clean shaven, so everybody knows that he shaves every day. So if they see a guy standing in his bathroom on the third day Chol Hamoed and shaving, no one's going to think, oh, this guy who's shaving, he should have shaved from before Yom Tov when I'm in Nugra. He shaved before Yom Tov. I know he shaved before Yom Tov. Haraya, he doesn't have a 10-day beard, he has a 1-day beard. So when you see a guy shaving in Chol Hamoed, so you will realize right away, he's like the Yatsam Beis Asurin, he's like the Nazar, like the Mitzayra, that the Gezeirah doesn't apply to him because he did what he was supposed to do. Rabbeinu Tam is right, and the Chashash that the other Rishonim had against Rabbeinu Tam right, also doesn't apply to him because that Chashash doesn't apply for shaving, for haircuts it applies. A guy got a haircut before Yom Tov, and now he's sitting in the barbershop on Chol Hamoed, so not everyone's going to realize that he got a haircut before. People don't get haircuts every 3 days. A shave, a guy shaves, clean shaving, shaves every day. So Mechari, the Yisr Shevin wouldn't apply. If he has a beard, top of the Gezer will apply. If he's clean shaven, then Mechari, the whole Gezer doesn't apply, and the whole Chokum or Menetam don't apply. This is a relationship basic gap there to shave and Chol Hamoed. At the end of the Tshuva, Rabbi Shai writes that even though he thinks it's Mutter, he could make Mutter, he writes that off of the chain, so he thinks it could die to be Machmer, not to shave and Chol Hamoed. That's how he ends up. So in print, that's what it says in the Tshuva. So the Altair, there are rumors floating around that people approach Moshe and ask them, wait a second, he said, if you're not going to shave on Chol Hamoed, if you really hold the making sure that he's a minuval. So the cow comes, he comes to the seventh day of Pesach, looks like a minuval, he hasn't shaved in 6 days. So that's a problem. Rumors are that Rav Moshe said, yeah, no chedami. But Rav Moshe in print, it doesn't say that. In print, Rav Moshe, even though he presents his kula, he concludes the tshuva by saying that he's not convinced that it's the best thing to do. He leaves it like a ki'ilu l'chachiro that he shouldn't do it. But there are others who claim that Rav Moshe Galpeh told them that in chedami that you really should shave. And even Rav Moshe himself didn't say it. Others who did say it. So there were folks who said that you should shave. Who's a shaver? Every day should have a shaver. So he cut himself a regular shaver. So you got three different opinions in the Pesukim. What's the status of shaving? Only shaving people are chalamayit. For those who didn't accept him, Moshe's all cooler. The whole svaras, all the cool. You know, you have a chadish svaras. That's awesome. And finished the discussion. That was one approach to this. The Pesukim held it's awesome. Mamash nishra at the end of shaver chalamayit. What man is that? And then there were others in the other extreme who held that it's totally mutter and therefore we should encourage it to shaver chalamayit. And the middle ground of people who said that it's basically mutter, the kardin, but it's not appropriate to do. If you can avoid it, you should avoid it. There should be three different permutations in terms of shaving. The whole head of the shaving was all predicated on the assumption that there's really no malach involved, and the reason why there's no malach involved is not the traditions. There's another category the Gemara speaks about in terms of Tzorach HaYom, which are better than Tzorach Yochan and Tzorach HaRapid. If you have a situation of Tzorach HaRapid, so then everything is mutter. Even Ma'ase Umar would be mutter for Tzorach HaRapid. The only thing is what exactly is called Tzorach HaRapid? So we usually assume that the Rashba that says that Tzorach HaRapid means like Tzorach HaGuf, something which is important for the Rabbin's personal needs. The Mishnah, the Gemara speaks about if you have to fix up the roads because it says there's a someone's going to fall, someone's going to trip or something, so that's called Tzorach HaRapid. That would be mutter. Even a Ma'ase Umar would be mutter. But what if you have like Tzorach HaNeshama, have some spiritual needs or something, that doesn't qualify necessarily as Tzorach HaRapid. It's also discussed building a shul. You have to build a shul, no shul down, you have to put it up in 24 hours to be the place for the seventh day of Yom Tov. So maybe that wouldn't qualify as Tzorach HaRapid. That's unclear exactly whether that is really called the Tzorach HaRapid. We both have a whole discussion about a Sefer Torah. So you have a Sefer Torah, has a mistake in it, so you're allowed to fix the Sefer Torah, allowed to write. So normally to write in Chol HaMoed is a problem, unless it's a Ma'ase Hedyot with Tzorach HaYom. So a lot of our writing is Mutter Chol HaMoed. If our writing, there are more writings, Nikur, Din, and Tzorach, it is a Ma'ase Hedyot. Most people know how to write. So that's for the Ma'ase Hedyot. So if it's a Tzorach HaYom, it's Mutter. That's the mistake. I mean, if you have a listener, remember that it'll store something for Tzorach HaYom, that'll be Mutter. But if it's not with Tzorach HaYom, then even a Ma'ase Hedyot would be also. But it might be open to that. The question is, time to write a professional type of calligraphy or something. The person wants to write out a fancy invitation or something. That's a Ma'ase Umar, which even with Tzorach HaYom would be a follower of Chalamoid, unless it's a Tzorach HaRapid. So it'll be a Tzorach HaRapid, and then it would be Mutter. Some Rishonim allowed to write the 6th of the Torah on Chalamoid, because they felt that was called a Tzorach HaRapid. So others held that that's not called Tzorach HaRapid, because that's Tzorach HaNeshama, Tzorach HaGuf. So it may be mutter for another reason. It may be mutter, and many folks know that it was mutter out to hirab him, but it's mutter out quite like a davar oven. Why is it a davar oven? Because there's a mitzvah kriyas haTorah. So if I'm not going to have a question of Torah, I'm going to lose out the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah kriyas haTorah. So that's the matter. It's not based on tzorach hirab, because it's tzorach neshama, but it's mutter anyway. So that's true, that it'll only be mutter if you really believe the rabbi, because there's no other sefer Torah. So what if I have another sefer Torah? So I'll wait for the other sefer Torah. So what if there's another Sefer Torah in the next door shul, another Sefer Torah in the next minyan, another Sefer Torah down the block? So how much do you have to do in that tria? How much do you have to wait? Let's say there's another minyan using the Sefer, you have to wait 20 minutes. So you have different cheshbonos in the poskim. Where do you draw the line? What's called the tzorach enough of a davar avei to justify, enough of a mitzvah to justify the writing of a letter in the Sefer Torah on Chol HaMoed? Of course, my further shout is that writing in Shir HaShirim. But then you open up the cloth, people lay in the cloth, and they reel up the color white, if there's a mistake in the cloth, they want to fix it up. Is that okay or not? The rabbi showed that was a problem. He held it up, not the same. It should be, also, it's not so terrible. And then number two, Rabbi says, who says that the Megillah is possible the way it is? Just as by Megillah Esther, there's a law that's missing a few letters of Kasher, the other Megillah is also Kasher. Rabbi Shirai, he doesn't think there's any justification to fix the Megillah Shir Shirim on Chol HaMoed. And others will make, or others held that, the quote from Chaim Lajra, they held that the reading of a Megillah is Mamish Mikra Adin, like a Grohel, they take a Bracha, it's a real mitzvah, kind of a Chum, whatever it is, you really have to lay in the Megillah, it has to be laid in the cloth. And the halacha that a Megillah that's missing letters is kosher is only by Megillah Sestik, because it's called the Megeret, it's not by other Pisei HaKadosh. So if there's any mistake you use there in Megillah Sheyashim, you won't be able to get the mitzvah, and therefore you'll have to fix it on Chol HaMoed. So again, you have different opinions in the posting about these kinds of things. But the basic starting point is that in order to be mafer any of these things, you have to either put it into the category of Dover Aved or into the category of Tzarchei Rabim. If it doesn't meet one of those two conditions, then even though it is a Tzarech HaYom, the Tzarech HaYom for Maisa Uman, not going to know that right at the same time, so that's called a Maisa Uman. So Maisa Uman is usually a no-no on the Chol HaMoed. So it's Maisa Hedjot, writing for Maisa Hedjot, but it's a Tzarech HaYom, so presumably that would be...